From all that is material. Text number 13. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Tadaivam atman avurhutya citto na veda kinshat bahir antarampa yate shukaro nipatim brajantam esho katatmana tadasha parshve Tadaivam atmanya rudra citto na veda kinchit parir antarambha yathe shukharo nipratim vrajantam esho gadatmana dadasha pashve Tadaivam atmanya rudra Avaruta chito na veda kinchit pari antarampa yat eshukaro nipatim brajantam esho kadatmana tadasha parshve Tada. At that time, evam, thus, atmani, in the Supreme Personality of Godhead, avrudha, fixed, chitaha, the mind, na, does not, veda, no, kinchit, anything, bahi, outside, Antaram, inside, va, either, yatha, just as, issue of arrows, taraha, a maker, nyupatim, the king, prajantam, going, Ishal, in the arrow. Gata Atma, being absorbed. Nadarasha, did not see. Parshve, right next to him. Translation purpose by Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada, founder and chair of the International Society of Krishna Consciousness. Thus, when one's consciousness is completely fixed on the absolute truth, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, one no longer sees duality or internal and external reality. The example is given of the arrow maker who was so absorbed in making a straight arrow that he did not even see or notice the king himself who was passing right next to him. Please repeat. Thus, when one's consciousness is completely fixed on the absolute truth, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, one no longer sees duality or internal and external reality. The example is given of the arrow maker who was so absorbed in making a straight arrow that he did not even see or notice the king himself who was passing right next to him. It is understood that when the king moves on a public street, he is heralded by kettle drums and other musical instruments, and is accompanied by soldiers and other members of his retinue. Thus, despite this royal extravaganza passing right by his workshop, the arrow maker did not even notice, because he was completely absorbed in his prescribed duty of making an arrow straight and sharp. One who is completely absorbed in loving devotional service to the absolute truth, Sri Krishna, no longer pays attention to material illusion. In this verse, the word bahis, external, refers to the innumerable objects of material sense gratification, such as food and drink, sex, and so on, which drag the senses of the conditioned soul into material duality. The word antaram, or internal, refers to memory of previous sense gratification or hopes and dreams for future materialistic situations. One who is seeing everywhere the absolute truth, Sri Krishna, categorically rejects both internal and external illusion. This is called muktipada, or the status of liberation. On this platform, there is neither attraction nor aversion to sense objects. Rather, there is loving absorption in the absolute truth, Krishna, and an overwhelming desire to please him by devotional service. One who gives up the reality of Krishna will be forced to wander uselessly in the kingdom of mental speculation. One who cannot see that the absolute truth, Lord Krishna, is the background and basis of everything that exists, will be bewildered by the false concept that there is something that is not Krishna. Everything emanates from the Lord, and he is the Lord of everything. This simple understanding is the actual existential situation. End of purport.
Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Prachanine Nera Vishesha Shunyavari Pastara Satani Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadha Shivasari Gaur Bhaktivinoda Hare Krishna 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 Hare Hare Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. Translation again. Thus, when one's consciousness is completely fixed on the absolute truth, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, one no longer sees duality or internal and external reality. The example is given of the arrow maker who was so absorbed in making a straight arrow that he did not even see or notice the king himself who was passing right next to him. This chapter is in talking about the yoga system, Ashtanga yoga system, how to become detached from everything material. Internal and external here refers to sense gratification, internal gross sense gratification and subtle sense gratification. It's not like we usually say internal, external, it's material or spiritual, bhairanga and antanga. So, but here it's referring to subtle and gross sense gratification. How the living entity in the material world is victimized by the modes of nature. And becomes distracted from his actual real identity, real situation, a Sanatana Dharma, which is his servant of Krishna. Jiva Shalupoy, Krishna Nityadas. So anything outside of loving service to Krishna is artificial or incomplete, unsatisfying. As we all know, we're all trying to attain to pure devotional service to reawaken our relationship with Krishna. Because we're unsatisfied. We all tried so many ways to be satisfied, but this is not to be. And there's no amount of material adjustment can make the living entity satisfied. So this is Krishna's wonderful plan of wonderful creation, how he does it, that the living entity somehow has a desire to be independent of Krishna according to our free will, somehow other that desire descends upon him. Because you can't be independent of the Supreme Lord in the spiritual world, that is Rasa Bhas. So therefore he creates a playground out of his own imagination, and it unfolds, the creation unfolds, and he expands as the Vishnus, etc. And he also comes into the playground, but he's not affected. He brings his own world into the playground like a bubble, like his pastimes is like the deity pastimes. They're not part of the material world. Krishna's name is not part of the material world. The river Ganges is not part of the material world. The pure devotees are not part of the material world. And service to the Lord is not part of the material world, although it's within the material world. But otherwise, we're very much illusion conditioned, bombarded by these different modes of material nature. But in this we're looking for satisfaction, which isn't there. The soul cannot take pleasure in matter. It's a different substance. But because we've forgotten our actual spiritual position and our relationship with Krishna, so we're trying to adjust the material energy so that we can be comfortable. And when we're comfortable, then we can enjoy life. Right? So this is the sum and substance of material existence. Everyone is trying to improve their situation. Right? why we came here, why we sitting in the Bhagavatam class. We hope to improve our condition, right? We hope to improve our future. Our future will be brighter. Why do we do anything? We hope our future will be brighter, more comfortable. Because it's uncomfortable. Why do you do anything? For improvement, mainly. Because everything, until one is actually like this yogi, has established his relationship again with Krishna, then there's a lacking, a vacancy in the heart. And we're trying to fill that vacancy by these, primarily by these two desires that we have for peace and happiness. But the material nature, as Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, it's temporary and it's miserable. Dukkhalaya ashritam. But we want eternal and blissful. That's what everyone wants, right? But you can't actually you can't find that situation in the material platform. But and then again, you can't stop the endeavor for it, because as our nature is sat, right? Sat chit ananda. Sat means eternal. Eternality means peace. So our nature is peace. But we're not peaceful. We're being bombarded. Where is food? Where is drink? Where is sense satisfaction? All the time, we're being bombarded. The nature of the material energy like that. So we're not left for a moment. We're very busy trying to fulfill these demands of the bodily demands, of which we're not the body. But still, when you're in the body, that body has the demands, and we can't tolerate all of them. We have to address. So everyone is on a different level of. Everyone has a different tolerance level, how much you can tolerate before you have to address your material existence. The yogis, they practice austerity, renunciation, etc. We have a different method, but in any case, everyone is doing the same thing. They all want a better situation. Nobody is comfortable because that experience of sat is lacking. So you cannot stop that search because it's unnatural. You're sat. So we're searching for that reality. And that's the main drive in the material world. But the real thing is happiness. Why do we want peace? Because we can't be happy without peace. Krishna says that there's no peace. There's a question of happiness, he says in Bhagavad Gita. No question of happiness without peace. So first you have to, when there's danger, you don't think about enjoying. Right? When you're really hungry, you don't think about enjoying except food. You know, you have to deal with the immediate problem. When you're secure, when you're comfortable, then you can make program to actually enjoy it. So that takes up most of one's life. It's called defending. Right? And you can group eating, sleeping, under the defense, and then there's enjoying. But those other three, for preservation of one's life, continuation, they all come. You can group them all under this defense. And you see, in the world today, the defense is the biggest budget generally of any nation. They spend a lot of money on defense because it's necessary. Because we're very vulnerable here. But the real business is to actually enjoy, and that you can't stop. Also, you can't stop the desire to enjoy, because that's the Halavini Shakti. That's our Halavini portion. We are enjoyers by nature. We're secondary enjoyers. Krishna is the supreme enjoyer, but we have the relationship with him is enjoying. It is ananda. It is his enjoyment. Is the Halavini Shakti. So we have a portion of that, we're made of that also, that portion of Halavini. But but we're not experiencing bliss. So the first thing is to remove the obstacles, get comfortable, then you can think about enjoying it. So this is the material existence is going on like that. So you cannot stop this, is it? You cannot stop this endeavor, because if you stop that endeavor, then you're a free man. You just stop those two things, give up those two things, the desire to control your future, the desire to enjoy the future, you're a free person, a liberated person. There's only two things. But not so easy to give up. We're so addicted to being controllers, to control our environment, to shape our future. We're so addicted to it. Krishna's energy is so wonderful. I mean, he's got us, Maya Devi's got us all running around, and shackled by this sense gratification. That we don't even need to be chained in the material world. We're attached to it. We don't want to let go. We're trying to, in the prison, we're trying to paint the bars and put nice curtains up. And you know, that's not perfection. You know? Perfection is to actually get out. So this is the samsara. Now how do you get out of this? Only by awakening to one's actual real identity, when come free from this endeavor, this materialist endeavor, useless endeavor, as I mentioned here, what was the word? Toil uselessly in the material world. Yes, which one has to rise above ordinary social customs which distracts the living entity towards useless sense gratification. Because it's all about the body. You know? The body is so dear because I think I'm the body. The body is so important. And the body means the senses. So the most important thing is sense gratification. Most important thing is happiness. Right? That's what we want ultimately. You get happiness through the senses. The body is dear because the soul is there. The body is dear. When the soul goes, the body is not dear for anyone. The soul is dear because it's part of Krishna. He's all attractive. So the soul is also attractive. So when the soul leaves the body is not attractive. But while it's there, the body is very attractive. Especially our body. Our own body is more attractive than any other body. We wouldn't want to be anyone else. Right? I'll take your beauty, your riches, your strength, your fame, your learning, your beauty, but I want to be me. I don't want to be you. because I like me. I like being me. You know? this is the illusion that we're in. So the identification of the self with the body, and of course the self always exists, so naturally that identity is there. But this is the cause of all the root cause of all the problems, misidentification with us. So here is explained how the yogi should meditate actually on the Supreme Lord. This is the perfection of yoga. Because generally the yogis, very often they'll go for the impersonal, or they at least come to realize their Brahman. Which is also is essential. One has to realize one is Brahman. One has to be, Prabhupada said, to know Vasudev, one has to become Vasudev. To enter the sun planet, one has to have a body made of fire. To enter the spiritual world, to have a relationship with Krishna, you have to have a spiritual body. So to know Brahman, you have to become Brahman. Otherwise, we can't get there. So one's engagement in some things in the purport. So Prabhupada is given this example, which is in the shloka also, how the arrow maker, he's making his arrows, and he's so absorbed in making that arrow because it has to be very precise, you know, the straight, perfectly straight, the balance has to be perfect, the feathers have to be perfect, Everything has to be perfect. He's so absorbed that he didn't even notice that the king was passing by. He's so absorbed in that. So this is the kind of absorption that we want in Krishna, in Krishna consciousness, that we're indifferent, become indifferent to anything else. But first we have to understand that this endeavor for a comfortable situation in the material world is illusion. Unless you have this realization, at least this firm conviction, then you don't get Krishna. You won't get love of Krishna. Because to get love of Krishna, you've got to give up the material world. And without knowledge, you won't give up the material world. Without knowledge, you won't become detached. Unless you actually understand what Maya is, are we just making an ass of ourselves, trying to perceive Maya? If you don't realize that, then you'll still think, there is something for me. I can adjust. I can find a place. We can adjust. In the future, we can adjust, and things will be nice. This is everyone's dream. This is your subtle sense gratification. Everyone is dreaming like that. Right? All the books are like that, and all the adverts are like that. You know, you've got the dream home, and the car, and the wife. You know. this is the ultimate happen, but it doesn't work. It's not like that. So, but unless one understands that there's no satisfaction for the soul in matter, then you can't give up that pursuit for it. Because we have to have an alternative. Because we have to have peace. We have to have happiness. We have to fulfill that need. There's a need. There's a lacking in us. The sat and ananda. Chits are there, but these two are the main things. So therefore, that's why this idea of control and enjoy is so prominent, because they're the things that keep this material world moving. if you stop those two things, that's it. There's no need of a material world anymore. So when one sees that there's actually nothing but Krishna, of course we can't be separated from Krishna. Krishna's everything. It mentions here Krishna's everything. Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says also, Hamsa Vasya Prabhupada. That everything is emanating from me. Bhumira Pavana Lovayo, this earth, water, fire, air, sky, mind, intelligence, ahankara. What else is there? That's all we can perceive. There's nothing else. Right? There's nothing else. That's all Krishna's energy. So it's nothing but Krishna. Anything you see, and any product of that, sound or sensation, it's Krishna. It's coming from Krishna. Because it's His energy. And it's working under His direction. And then Krishna says in the next shloka of Bhagavad Gita that above these energies, these eight energies, there is a superior energy, the living entity, that's us, who are all trying to exploit the resources of the material nature. Illusion. We are the superior energy, but we're concerned with the inferior energy. That's our focus. This is Maya. Because we've lost, Krishna's covered us with forgetfulness. The first thing you get is Krishna Maya. When we come into the material world, He takes away remembrance of Him. Otherwise, material world would be no fun. If we remembered Krishna, that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, I am His eternal servant, then no fun in the material world, right? You couldn't try and be somebody, do something, and leave your carbon imprint. So Krishna takes away that remembrance of Him. And so then there's me, and there's a vacant spot. I could take that spot also. I could be in the spotlight. I could be the center of attraction. Therefore, your sports, politics, music, acting. Well, everyone wants to be a star. Right? Everyone wants to be the in your class, in exams, everyone wants to be top. So that then there's recognition. Because if I'm top, then everyone's looking at me. This is how everyone is thinking like this. Right? Well, everyone wants to be successful, right? You want to be top, whatever we do, we would like to be top. It's a nice feeling. Feeling of recognition. Different, special from ordinary, not ordinary. And that's Krishna's position. He is special. He is very extraordinary. And he's worshipped by everyone. But if we can be worshipped by, you know, if we can become a star, we can be worshipped by thousands, or sports hero, or even worshipped as a master of a house by, you know, wife and children, something. Something. This is how the material world is going on, and nobody gets tired of it. Rarely. We need someone actually to come and wake you up and tell us what is actually going on. Well, you won't figure it out yourself. No one will come to this understanding themselves. Not possible. How will you? How could you understand what this creation is, what it's for, how it works? The creation was here before we were. We were part of it. And so you'll never understand. You could become self-realized. You could understand you're nothing to do with this material world by introspection. And you could understand that there's a greater power than me. That's as far as you can go by yourself. Then you have to take help, shelter of the scripture, the sadhus, etc. to find out what you actually are and who that higher person is. Because I'm not doing everything. I'm not controlling everything. But you have to. Eventually, you have to take shelter of the scripture. And so Krishna consciousness is called the positive alternative. Otherwise, there's no alternative to material life. The renunciates, they're trying to give it up. The karmis, it means pious people. They want to enjoy life, and they go to Krishna. They're religious, and they enjoy life in a spiritual way. They're called karma yogis. And then they get purified after hundreds of births. It's a purifying process, the Vanashan system. It'll purify you. Until the intelligence is purified enough to understand there must be something more than trying to enjoy. Even if you get to Swarga, you have to come back again. You can't stay there. So there must be something more. Then you become curious at what that is. So then you go to the Jnana Kanda. Instead of the karma, you go to the jnana, which is very little about detachment in the scripture, because no one's interested in detachment, everyone's interested in enjoying. then you become serious about that, you're known as a jnani. So then you try to become detached, which is the other side of the same coin, as Prabhupada mentions. One is trying to enjoy Maya, one is trying to be free from Maya, or to control the influence of Maya. They're both illusion. We can neither enjoy Maya, neither we can control Maya. Maya is enjoyed by Lord Shiva. And she is controlled by Lord Shiva. And sometimes he has a hard job to control her. So not for us. That's another category, not for us. But we're thinking Purusha. We're thinking we can enjoy. Both man and female, man and woman, we're both thinking that we are the Purusha. So the only alternative is to see that Krishna is the background and the basis of everything. Then it all makes sense. And it's his program. So The consciousness here mentioned in the purple, one who is seeing everywhere the absolute truth Krishna, categorically rejects both internal and external illusions. This is actually liberation. The Vikamis, they try to enjoy material energy. The Jnanis, they try to reject or control the material energy. But the Bhaktas, they do neither of those things. They don't try to enjoy, they don't try to control it. They don't try to enjoy the body, they don't try to get out of the body. Just Krishna. You just service to Krishna. That's the alternative to either enjoying the senses or trying to become free from the senses. The only alternative is Krishna, which is the platform of liberation. But that only on the platform that we're speaking about in this shloka, this is coming from the platform of realization. We're practicing, but may not have the realization. But even the practice is the liberation. While we're in this room now, in this transcendental hall, we're all liberated if we're hearing this subject matter of Krishna consciousness. But we don't feel liberated, right? We don't think we're self-realized, but we're actually liberated at this moment, because what would be the result of this being here in front of the deities here in Srimad Bhagavatam? There's no material result, you see. There won't be any karma for this, if we're focused. So if there's not, and the material world is just karma, that's all, it's only karma. So if it's not karma, then it's liberation. So the platform of liberation, self-realization, actually perception, that will come later. that's a perfection. The liberation is immediate as soon as you switch over to Krishna. So don't try to enjoy the body. Don't try to get out of it. This is what everyone is doing in the material world. Illusion. So then it's Krishna, service to Krishna. But therefore, the bhakta, he becomes indifferent. He becomes indifferent to the body's demands. and the likes and dislikes, because he sees them for what they are. Of course, eating, sleeping, mating, defending, they may go on. There's a necessity. You have to stay alive. You have to perform these things, at least eating, sleeping, defending. And they have to go on to a certain degree to maintain your body, which is your only means of understanding Krishna anyway, right? Through the senses, through the mind and the intellect, it's the only medium that we have to experience Krishna consciousness. It's the only medium we have, period, to do anything. So with this limited faculty that we got, we have to use this. This is the faculty that will enlighten us in Krishna consciousness. We have no other option. So therefore we engage the senses in the service of Krishna, Rishikesh. He's the master of the senses, Gopinath. And that is the actual perfection. Now you're perfect, right? What we're doing, just like we come to surrender to Krishna, and we follow principles. You know, we get up early in the morning, we cleanse ourselves, we put on clean cloth, we mark our body with tilak, we come to the temple, see the deity, glorify the deity, we chant his names, we hear Bhagavatam, worship the pure devotees, Tulsi. So this is, all the Paramahansas do this thing also, right? They're doing the same things. When they put on tilak, they worship the deity, they chant the names of Krishna, they study Bhagavatam. But the Paramahansa is actually, he's getting some feeling from that. He's actually doing it with relish, he's actually getting some pleasure from it. So in the beginning, we're not doing it from the mind, we're doing it from the intelligence. Then it's a little dry, you know. We're not getting the taste that we're anxious for. We want taste is what we want. It's actually direct perception or realization is what we want. Experience. If you don't get experience, then you won't stay. Therefore, Krishna gives a little bit now and again. He gives some. He lets you experience that ananda. His ananda comes down and touches our ananda. Then there's a lot of ananda. So that's to keep us going. But otherwise, there's no, you know, real. Especially this time, Kali Yuga. No one is qualified, is it? No one has the adhikar to get Krishna's darshan. But Mahaprabhu has come. Krishna has come in his very merciful form, and he's not considering adhikar. He's not considering who is qualified, who is not qualified. The qualification is faith. You take part in the sankirtan movement. You chant Hare Krishna. That's enough. Then you can go back to God in this lifetime. But to attain perfection, very difficult. To attain siddhi in lifetime, to get these siddhis is very difficult. We'd like them. Everyone talks about them. To get to the platform of nishtha, siddhi, Brahman realization, ruchi, ashakti, bhava prema. These are perfections. And generally they're awarded to us. It's not something you can really develop, because that consciousness is on a spontaneous platform. It's not something you can do with your intellect. Intelligence is dry. There's no rasa in intelligence. The rasa is in the mind. So it's a mind you want to give to Krishna. That experience is done in the mind, and the heart is synonymous. So that's what we want. We want that experience, taste. That's what everyone's looking for. Yes. So that is awarded. But even if you don't, you get a little bit now and again, that will keep you thin. But we're so far away from loving Krishna the way that these devotees love Krishna. The Bijbhasas, etc. That's it, huh? It is seen that sometimes when the devotee leaves their body, that they're actually seeing Krishna. They actually, you know, sometimes Prabhupada appears before them. Bhaktivinoda Thakur, one devotee, they see Krishna. That's the mercy, because in this particular time, Kali Yuga, we don't have you don't find anyone have that kind of qualification. So we're hoping for that. We're practicing trying for sadhana siddhi, a victory. But we're hoping against hope for kripa siddhi, mercy from the devotees, mercy from Krishna. And that is, so the best we can do is to situate ourselves in the practice of Vadi Sadhana, and very sincerely practice that, but hoping for the mercy of the Lord. So Prabhupada said there's two ways of worshipping Krishna. One is in spontaneous love, and one is in Vaidhi, rule and regulation. When one is worshipping in spontaneous love, that is considered to be Krishna's mercy. And yes, when one is worshipping spontaneous, that is considered Krishna's mercy. When one is worshipping in Vaidhi, it's doubtful whether Krishna's mercy is involved at all. In other words, Krishna's only interested in bhav. Oh, this, go look, Krishna. Govinda, Gopinath. He's only interested in affection. So he's appearing with us as a super soul. But the super soul is not very merciful. He'll let you do whatever you want, super soul. If you engage in activities that will take you away from Krishna consciousness, he'll give you the intelligence to do it if you want to do it. So he's not merciful. He's not merciful like the guru. Don't do this. Don't do this. Stop that. Nonsense. You chant Hare Krishna. So he's with us, he's come with us in all of our bodies, he's traveling with us wherever we go, waiting for us to turn to him, then he gives you proper direction. Of course, when one actually surrenders to Krishna, when one comes to that platform, and then Krishna becomes, your Ishtadeva becomes, takes the place of the Paramatma. Paramatma's only functions in the material world. Yeah, so it's the... Yes, it's doubtful whether Krishna's mercy is involved at all. Of course, everything is his mercy. It's his deities, it's his Mahaprasadam, it's his devotees he's sending here, it's his Vrindavan, it's his Jamuna, it's his Ganga, it's his Bhagavatam. You know, he's given the necessary, all the ingredients. We just have to become attached to those things, because that's what's given the bhakti shakti we're getting from them. So how lifestyle should be like 24 hours a day, we should be engaged in all these different processes, specifically in 9 most favorable, and above them 5. We can always remain in contact, then that is your success. Always remain in contact with these devotional processes, because that is directly Krishna. Some more direct than others, like Shravanam, Kirtanam, Smaranam. And that is purifying, that is giving us the adhikar, that is destroying the anathas. We just have to keep in connection with the fire of Krishna, Prabhupada says. It's like the iron rod, it comes in the contact with the fire, it comes out and it takes on the qualities of fire. But it has to be kept in association with the fire to keep those fire qualities. So that we have to keep it in connection with Krishna through these different practices. And then our body will also act spiritually. It shouldn't be considered a material body anymore when one is 10% engaged in something like that. So that's the easiest part. That's the easy thing we have to do. We just have to make that endeavor to stay in contact with the devotional process, and the rest is up to... It's not within our realm. That's next level. That's guru's level. What happens to us? What our relationship with Krishna and our connection with Krishna? We can go up to guru. He does the rest. The introduction. So we're dependent on his mercy. But at least we're safe. We're insulated by following these devotional practices, and insulated, purified, and become more and more inspired the more we hear, because we're directly associating with Krishna. So this is by becoming attached to Krishna, it's the only way that one can actually become detached from all that is material. Otherwise, what is the other option? We're born attached. So this chapter is entitled Detachment from All That Is Material. There's no question of being detached. There's no question of giving something up. You've got to do something. You have to be attached. You have to do something. So you become attached to Krishna. You do something for Krishna. There's no question of doing nothing. So becoming detached. What's your position? You become detached. What are you? You're not Buddhist. Become nothing. Sunyavad. Become nothing. There's no such thing as being nothing. We're thinking, feeling, living entities, willing living entities. That's our situation. We can't change that fact. So it's also artificial to try to become detached. One has to become attached. Attachment to Krishna is detachment from the material world. And that's the only safety. That is the actual constitutional position. That is your home. That is your bhakti Godhead. That is the actual refuge, the peace and the happiness that we're actually looking for. We'll only find it there at the lotus feet of Krishna. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Ram, Rama Ram, Hare Hare, Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Sri Prabhupada ki, jai, Chaupati Bhaktivinoda ki, jai. Any comments? Is there time for a question? No.
Hare Krishna, bro. Thank you very much. Bro, I heard something. I heard a line in your class that we go on till Nishtha. Then you said after that is Ruchi, Asakti, Bhava, Prem. That is a gift from Krishna. So is it that we try, we endeavor only till Nishtha, and if we reach Nishtha for Asakti, for Bhava, we don't try at all, it is a gift from Krishna? I just wanted to have further clarification on that.
No, from Nishtha comes Ruchi. It starts about the same time. So then there's taste. So you don't have to try, because there's attraction, natural attraction. Just like in the material world, the mind goes where the pleasure is, right? What we like goes away from what we don't like. It's spontaneous. The mind is spontaneous, it's spontaneously attracted. So from that platform of Nishtha, that platform, according to Banaswami, you have as much attraction for Krishna as you do Maya. So it's like a 50-50. But there's something. Now we don't have attraction for Krishna. We don't have attraction for Maya. That attraction for Krishna is not. But at Nishtha, it becomes. You can experience it. Now it's in the. Below that, it's just, you know, you've just got your philosophy, your peer pressure, your culture, your knowledge, your endeavor, but that's not enough. So when there's taste there, naturally you don't have to try, because you're getting what you want. Then it's very fast. From that point, it's very fast, your advancement. Because that's, you know, it's practically self-realization. So it's self-realization. Krishna says, Brahma Bhuta Prasanatmana. Once you've tasted this Brahman, there's no higher happiness. It means there's nothing better in the material world than that taste of Brahman, which is just freedom from the modes of nature. It's nothing special. It's just freedom from. But that's, you know, that's glory. That is, mukti is glorified in all the scriptures. The demigods shower flowers when someone gets mukti, they're leaving. But that's just freedom from the modes of nature. It's not actual real life. But you perceive yourself at that time. You perceive yourself, and yourself is Satchitananda. So you'll be perceiving that Satchitananda. So why would you go back to the material enjoyment? You can, but why would you? Because it's actually a higher taste. There's the actual. The big thing is to get out of the material world. So when you're out of the material world, it's fantastic, fabulous. But now, after a little while, what are you going to do there? When it's normal, it's fabulous when you break through the modes of nature and you don't get these clashes anymore. No hunger, thirst, lamentation, fear, old age, disease, all is all gone. Now it's fantastic. But what do you do? So in that fantastic, when you first come through, it's fantastic. But after a while, it's ordinary. Then what do you got to do? Something. And so that's when pure devotion actually kicks in, at that point of liberation. Yeah, so you don't have to try at that time, because you're getting taste. Now we're endeavoring because we don't have taste. Now we're going by intelligence. At that time, you're being attracted by the taste that you're getting. You see. Okay.
Hare Krishna. Thank you, bro. This is a different type of question. First of all, we'd like to really offer our gratitude to you for everything what you have done and doing, actually, and especially when we come to Mayapur, like you and Janani Vaspu, we get a lot of mercy and personal association also, and here also in our DT room, like backup room, we have your photo, and we get tremendous inspiration from you. So my question, would you speak about some Janani Vaspu little bit, because you get his so much of association, so you can hear about him.
Janani Vas?
Yeah.
He's a head pujari, yeah? Well, he's my guru, so he brought me to Krishna consciousness. I wouldn't be here if it wasn't for him. So, yeah, great soul, great conditioned soul, liberated soul also sometimes. he likes to tell the story of how he's an ordinary soul. When he was serving the deity in Mayapur, before there was any buildings there, then he would do everything, the whole day service alone. So Prabhupada was there, and he said, this boy Jaranivas, he said he can't do everything. You have to give him some help. He's an ordinary person. So Jaranivas always quotes that. Prabhupada said, an ordinary person. He said that stops me from getting puffed up. But a great soul, no doubt. And we came to India in 70, and I was coming for the trip, the excitement, you know. And he was coming. He was actually sincere, searching for self-realization. And when he went, he met the devotees in Puri. They didn't have any books, so he wanted to get some. They said, you go to our temple in Calcutta, you can get some books. And so then when he got Srila Prabhupada's books, and as soon as he opened Prabhupada's Bhagavad Gita, he said then everything made sense. Because he had two Bhagavad Gitas, pocket editions. And Mayavad, probably. I had a Gita press one, which was a bit better. There was no purple. But his one, Krishna in the one sloka in the Gita says, in this world there's two classes of people, the fallible and infallible. Right? So we know that there's the conditioned souls and then there's the liberated souls. Then he says, over and above that, there is the supreme person. So now he's talking about three. So this is out of our concept, you know, either, you know, we kind of, everyone was kind of Mayavadi tainted. So, you know, when you're conditioned, then you're liberated, that's it. But what is this third? There's a third person, there's a third option here. That's the supreme person. So the other Bhagavad Gitas, they didn't comment on this. There's no purple. They didn't mention that one. But when Prabhupada's Gita said, yeah, that is Krishna. He's the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Then there's the liberated souls and again. So that was it. And he never came out of the temple. And 40 years later, he came to came to see his... he had to leave India to get a visa. But he was serious about it. He walked into the temple and never came out for 40 years. A different story with me. It took me a long time. I wasn't really ready for this kind of for Hare Krishna life, but that's the difference. Everyone is different. So he brought me here and he's kept me here. Hare Krishna, thank you very much.